Continue our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Tonight, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse number 9. Verse number 9, we'll read through verse number 12, and our entire time will be spent on verse number 12. Well, at least 90% of our time on verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, now bear in mind, this is talking about love all the way through here. The word charity is the word agape, and it's translated love elsewhere in the Bible. But when that which is perfect is come, that's perfect love, then that which is in part, that's in part love, shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. He's talking about perfect love there. He's talking about a Christian's love, agape, deep abiding love, determines, the amount of that determines his growth in grace. Now in verse number 12, which is my text verse tonight, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. That's my text verse tonight. I hope you'll listen very carefully as I talk to you again about love. Father, thank you for this wonderful book and for this wonderful chapter. And thank you for this word, agape, the very love that you had for Jesus, the very love that you have for us, the very love that Jesus has for us. And the love made available to us by the Holy Spirit when we come to Christ. May we exercise that option of agape, deep, godly, abiding love. Love that's not determined by the object or its beauty or its what it has positive for us, but determined by what we are because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. Bless our study tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And as those of you who are members here know, that was my wife and my daughter and our granddaughter. And it's the last time they'll be singing for you because our granddaughter and her husband are going to Arkansas. He's going to pastor there. So I'll be filling in from now on. I simply do not want to disband the house trio. Personally, I think it'll be an improvement. But I'll thank both of you. Open your Bibles again to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to reread some of the passages we read and talk to you ever so briefly tonight about this 12th verse. Father, bless our study. Give us something tonight we can take home with us to last us until we see Christ. Amen. Let me first remind you that all of the things in this chapter deal with love. It starts off saying, if I speak with the tongues of men of angels and have not love, that's one of the first words in the chapter. And then the last word in the chapter is love. Now, about a faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love or charity, whichever you prefer. Now, all of the chapter deals with love. Let me remind you that there are two loves in the Bible, major loves. There are other words for love, but there are two major words for love. The word phileo, which means fondness. I love him because he is so nice. That's phileo. I love beautiful, the spring blossoms. That's phileo. I love Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's wisdom. The word phileo is the word which means fondness, and it's determined by the object of the love. In other words, if I love something because of what it is, that's phileo. Now, that's not a bad love. It's not the best love. The best love is the word agape. The word agape Here's the word, as I said a while ago, that deals with the love that God has for His Son, the love that the Heavenly Father has for you and me, the love that Jesus has for the Father, the love that Jesus has for you and me. That's agape. That's God's love. And the love that God gives us the option of having. In other words, we can choose to have phileo, which is determined by the object, or we can have agape, which is determined by the lover and has nothing to do with the object at all. Agape is unconditional love, and phileo is conditional love. The lady that says, I don't love my husband anymore, never did agape her husband. She phileoed her husband because she lacked him. It's a lack, if you please, a fondness, if you please, determined by the object. Now then, every one of us, hear me carefully, look at verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Now, we discussed that the other day, so I'll just say a word in passing. It means this, that all of us are part phileo and part agape. Now, the Heavenly Father is total agape. I mean, He is perfect love, untainted. Not God doesn't love you because of what you are. He loves you because of what He is. And so, that's agape. Now, we, in these fleshly bodies of ours, have not yet arrived to where we have perfect love. It is tainted. It is part phileo and part agape. Now, let me say, so that's what it means in verse 9. We know in part. Means we know love, agape, in part. This whole chapter is about agape. So we agape in part. Verse number 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Or look at me. The day is going to come when we are going to be like Christ. For John 3:2, doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Now, one day we'll not have these bodies of weakness, and we will have perfect love. Now, that'll not take place on this earth. You may increase the ratio of agape and phileo, and as we had in our little, when Brother Craig Bush and I did our little two-step the other night, it ever dawned on me, left us all over, that you and I were really living up here. More folks have told me that Craig and I really do a nice little dance. So we'll be down at the local theaters performing. But the truth is, we shall be one day all agape. We will love with a perfect love. None of us has that tonight. Now then, look at verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now then, what does that mean? That means that, we're still talking about love now, when I was a child, I loved as a child would love. How does a child love? A child loves because of the object. A child doesn't have agape. Your children, little children, they don't have agape. Now they'll get it when they get saved. You don't forget saved. That agape becomes available for a child as much as it is for an adult. But a little baby strictly lacks the little birds that fly up over the bed and the pacifier and the bottle of milk and the pablum and the baby food, and so forth. So the little child phileos. So Paul said, when I was a spiritual child, I loved with phileo. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. What's he saying? He's saying that your Christian growth is exactly in the ratio to how much your love depends on the object or not. Oh, I mentioned this. I won't go into it because I got some more things to say. But the honest truth is, how much you love people who are unlovable, unloving, it determines how mature you are in the Lord. If you just love people because they're nice and friendly and kind, then you are a baby Christian because phileo is a child's love. Agape is an adult love. So, as I said the other night, you're not a good Christian because you know a lot of Bible. You're not a mature Christian because you pray a lot. You're not a mature Christian because you're faithful to church. Your spiritual maturity is determined by how much you love those that are unlovable, such as your enemies, if you please, those that hate you, those that criticize you. To whatever degree you love them, then that is your spiritual maturity. Now then, tonight, look at verse 12. Our entire time be spent for the next few minutes on this verse. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Look at me now. Again, we're talking about love. Everything in this verse is talking about love. This is the love chapter. So look at it. Let me sort of paraphrase it a bit. For now we love through a glass darkly, but then we will love face to face. Now I love in part, but then shall I be loved, or shall I love, even as also I am loved. All right, sit up straight. I'm going to give you a little lesson tonight. Remember that we mentioned the other night that every one of us has part agape, part phileo. Everybody in this room tonight, nobody has perfect love yet, and none of us have gotten a place to where we love all of our enemies all the time. Now, we ought to grow in that, and as we grow in that, we grow in the Lord and become more mature. But there's some folks tonight, your love proportion is 10% phileo, I'm sorry, 10% agape, and 90% phileo. In other words, most of your love is because somebody, something is loving, somebody is lovable, they appeal to your senses. She is sweet, so I love her. He is kind, so I love him. I love to hear her sing, so I love her. I love to hear him preach, so I love him. Now, that's phileo. Now, some of you tonight have 90% of your love is there. I want you to measure yourself a little bit tonight. 90% of your love depends on the object of your love. For example, people come to church here, and they say, Brother Hiles, we sure do love you. Then you let me say something to them sometime they don't agree with, or let me skin them from the pulpit sometime, though I never do purposely skin anybody. I may skin all of you, but I don't skin anybody individually, never have anybody in mind. But you let me say something they don't agree with, and they move the membership. Now, why? Because they did not agape me, they phileoed me. They like me because I preach what they preach, what they believe, and they like my preaching, and they like me as a person. And so, but when they quit liking me as a person, then they're gone. Now, what is that? That's phileo. Now, some of you have 90% phileo and 10% agape. Now, after a while, you start growing. Some of you tonight, you have 80% phileo and 20% agape. And all until it's 40-60, 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, 80-20, 90-10. There are some folks tonight in this room who deeply love because you love, not because of the object. You love your enemy, maybe not as much as you love your friend, but you love your enemy. You love the one that criticizes you. You don't seek revenge. You don't try to get back at them. You have Bible love. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I said again, then I'll go on to the lesson tonight. I'll say it again. You are as spiritually mature as you love your enemies. You are as spiritually mature as you love those that are not lovable. You are as spiritually mature as your love is determined by your condition and not, listen to me now, I'm talking to you, not the object of it. So you young folks tonight, Brother Hiles, that's okay for a 73-year-old preacher. It's also a command of God for a 16-year-old teenager. You sit out there like you're disinterested. You better get interested. Be honest. And by the way, that's why you women are leaving your husbands. And that's why you guys are leaving your wives. And that's why your marriage is not happy. You know why? When you said to love in church, you did not mean till death do us part. You mean till she doesn't double her size. You mean till she's not attractive anymore. Now, you listen to me carefully. This country is going to hell tonight because we know nothing anymore about the unconditional love of Almighty God. Now, you wouldn't expect an unsaved person to have agape. It's not available to him. But you're not unsaved. You wouldn't expect a person got saved last Sunday to have agape. He just got saved. But you didn't get saved last Sunday. That's what the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 when he said, it's time some of you grew up. It's time that you quit being like babies. It's time that you grew up. How do you grow up? You start loving those who are not lovable. Now then, no one has 100%. But you are supposed to keep on growing in it. Now look, if you would please, at verse number 12 again. Verse number 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Look at me and I'm going to teach that to you. Talk about love now. Now we see, look at me, now we see love through a glass darkly. You folks on the lower floor, look at one of these windows that goes out in the hallway, would you please? Just look out at one of them right quickly. Just take a peek. What is it? It's a mirror. Is that right? Okay, and I look this way. This glass in the hallway, and by the way, I have a piece of that glass right here in my hand. This glass out in the hallway is so constructed that you can see inside the building from the hallway, but you cannot see the hallway from the inside of the building unless the lights are out inside the building. So people out there can look. For example, we have a wedding. Early part of the wedding, I meet right back there with the groom and the best man. We stand back there. We watch what's going on in here. You can't see us out there. We can see you in here. Now, hear me carefully. That's exactly what this verse is talking about. Now we see through, are you listening? A glass darkly. And the word glass there is the word mirror. Now we see through a mirror darkly. All right? If you walked up tonight and you looked at one of those windows back there, you'd see yourself. Now, if you walked on the other side, you wouldn't see yourself. You'd see others. So God is saying, now we see through a glass darkly. What's that? Baby Christianity. Why? You see yourself. And you relate everything. See, I'm looking right now. And wow, what a pretty picture. I should have done it. Pride always gets into me when I look. But now, I see myself now. Now, I look like that, and I see you folks over there. I can barely see myself. Now, God says that if you're mature, if you're an immature Christian, he said phileo is seeing through a mirror darkly. What does that mean? There's darkness on the other side of the mirror, and so consequently, you can see yourself. Now, that's phileo. Phileo is wrapped up what I get out of it, what he does for me, what she does for me. She sure is nice to me. He sure gives me a lot of stuff. I love him because he treats me nicely. Now, you're supposed to love him. By the way, turn that thing over and you'll see other people. You go out there and you look in here because it's light in here and you'll see other people. Now, God is simply saying, if you'll quit looking at yourself and look at other people, then you'll start loving because of what you are and not because of what they are. If you'll be concerned about, listen to me now, what happens to them and not to you. See, your concern is, what do I get out of it? Now, that's phileo. That's through a glass darkly. But if you say what that they get out of it, that's agape. That's face-to-face. I look at this tonight, and I see myself. Okay, Brother Colston, stand up here, would you please? I look at that tonight, and I do not see Brother Colston. I see myself. I turn it over like that, and I see Brother Colston. So here is where most of you are. I hate to say it, but most of us are this way. We're looking and seeing what Brother Colston can do for me. Now, that's phileo. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Now, that's you boys and girls in school that say, I love my teacher because she's so sweet. Never dawn on you that sour teacher needs somebody to love her too? Look at me. Wake up. We're having church here. Look at me. You're not a good Christian because you go to teenage soul winning. You're a good Christian because you love that which is not lovable. You young people say, I just can't stand her. That's because you're seeing through it glass darkly. You're looking at yourself. What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? How much does it mean to me? How much fun do I get out of it? And ladies and gentlemen, that is phileo. That is baby love. That is when I was a child. I loved as a child, spake as a child. I became a man. I started loving like an adult. What is childish loving? Looking at myself through a glass darkly. What if, by the way, let me go a step further. Look at that verse again, if you would, please. Verse number 11. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Let me say this also. Isaiah 6:5, look at me. Isaiah 6:5, Isaiah had a vision. He saw the Lord high and holy and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Then in chapter 6 and verse 5, Isaiah said this, woe is me, for I am undone. Why? For mine eyes have seen the Lord. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. And when I saw him, I said, woe is me. Now you see, your trouble is, you're looking through a glass darkly. You're looking toward the dark. That's why you can't see any, you're sitting right here. You can't see what's going on in that hallway. Why? It's darkness out there. But they can see what's going on in here. Why? It's light in here. And the honest, simple truth is that far too many of us are looking at ourselves, and you look at yourself. You got darkness behind this mirror here. We look through a mirror darkly, but then face to face. One of these days, bless God, one of these days, I'm not going to be looking like that anymore. I'm going to be looking like that. Now, here I am right now. And there you are. I agape, and then I phileo. I agape, and then I phileo. I agape, 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 then I phileo. Agape, 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 and then I phileo. But every one of us is looking through both sides of this glass to some degree. But you get the place, ladies and gentlemen, to where you look and see other people, and then you'll see face to face, then you will love. Why? For your own sake? No, for their sake. And by the way, the guy that, hey, here's a guy that's hungry, the guy that's full. Which one should you give food to? Answer me. Talk to me. Here's the guy hungry. Here's the guy that's full. To whom should you give the food? Full or hungry?
Hungry.
Okay. Here's the guy that's in the rain. And here's the guy that's not in the rain. To whom should you give the umbrella? The guy who's in the what? Talk to me in the what? Okay. Here's the guy that's unlovely. And here's the guy that's lovely. To whom should you give the love? The unlovely. He needs it. The fellow who doesn't deserve the love. He needs it. Oh, my soul hungers today for some mature Christians in First Baptist Church of Harlan. Some Christian people who are not looking through a glass darkly, but they're looking toward the light. What does that mean? That means you look at the mirror toward darkness and you see yourself. You go out and look at the same glass, that same glass over there. You look in here and you see other people. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what God is trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us it's time we quit looking at ourselves. Boy, he's good to me. I just love him. Oh, she's pretty. I just love her. Did you know ugly people need loving more than pretty people do? Did you know sinners need loving more than righteous people do? That's what Jesus did when he talked about the lost sheep. He left those that were delightful, and he went toward the sheep that had left the fold. What was it? He had agape. He did not love, was not loving the sheep that were there. He was loving the sheep that had left. Now listen carefully. Then shouldn't I love the sheep that leave this church? I mentioned this Sunday. And it's no secret, 40 years ago, we had a split here in this church over the American Baptist Convention and other things. And a group of people left the church and started the American Baptist Church. Not one single time have I ever criticized that church. Not one single time have I ever criticized anybody in that church. I mentioned this the other night. We're purchasing a building out here in Munster from that church. They own that church building. We're purchasing. I have met with them, and we've had a delightful time. The pastor and I have enjoyed being together. We've enjoyed fellowship. We've enjoyed a delightful time, and they're gracious, loving people. And if I have agape, I'll love those people. And you'll love the one that hates you. And you'll love the one that's not lovable. And that's what you call face-to-face. He says, now I look through a mirror darkly. Because darkness, if I were in the light, in fact, I did this today, I got this mirror here, and I put it darkness on that side and light on this side. And all I could see was myself. I turned around and I got in the other where the darkness was, looking toward the light, and I couldn't even see myself. That's what he's talking about here. You're looking at yourself too much. How did it affect me? What I get out of it? How'd they treat me? You listen carefully. It is. The Bible says even the heathen love people. They're lovable. Listen to me. Even the heathen do that. An unsaved fellow in a tavern tonight can love a wife that's beautiful and affectionate. The heathen people, phileo, but only God's people can agape. All right, let's go a step further. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 again, verse number 12. For now we see through a glass or a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now let me stop and say this again. Are you listening to me tonight? Is anybody home tonight? Let me say it again. It depends on whether you're looking at the light. You look out the hallway in darkness, look at the light, you see in here and see others. Stand out here, look at the darkness out there, you see yourself. Now, what is the light? Right there. Right there. And I'll promise you this. The people that love their enemies tonight in this room are the people who spend more time in that book. And I promise you this, those of you that love only that which is lovely, loving, or lovable, that's phileo, you spend the less time in this book. For if you spend time in this book, you're going to find out that you're not a hot shot yourself. And you're going to realize that if God, a perfect God, could love an imperfect person like me, if omnipotence could love weakness, if omniscience could love ignorance, if strength could love weakness, why in the name of common sense couldn't one weak person love another? All right, let's go back to our text again. For now we see through it less darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Let me explain what that means. Now, the word know, look at me. The word know there is very interesting. In the Greek, it's the word gnosko. G-I-N-O-S-K-O. It's better. Listen to it now. The word gnosko. For now, we know in part. Now, what that word, gnosko, means I am learning. It does not mean I totally know. It means I am learning, I am growing in love. Now then, but it says, now we know in part, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I'm known. Follow me carefully. That word, second word, know, I shall know as I'm known is the word epigenosko. Now, epigenosko means I've arrived. Gnosko means I'm on my way to real love. Epigenosko means I have arrived at love. So let me read that to you with that. Now I am on my way to perfect love. But then shall I have perfect love, even as I also am loved by perfect love. What does it mean? It means I shall fully love. He fully loves me now. Until I awake in his likeness, I am to be on my way to perfect love. Nobody here has perfect love, but bless God, you all love more than they did last month. On your way. Spending more time looking this way rather than looking at yourself. All of us, I don't care who you are, you're going to have times you're going to get your feet inserted. I do, you do. But those times ought to become less and less. And so what does it mean? It may mean that a person tonight may be looking this way at himself 90% of the time and 10% looking at others. But you ought to make it 20, 80, 30, 70, 40, 60, 50, 50, and on until you come as close as you can to loving like he loves. I don't know about you. I happen to have a beautiful wife. The most even dispositioned woman that I know in the world sits behind me right now. I like that. But that's not why I love her. If she ever gets mad and throws a fit, I'll divorce her. I'll still love her. I'm trying to say that we are supposed to, we know in part, in fact, look at it again. It says, now I know in part, then shall I know even as also I am known. What does that mean? That means the day is going to come, bless God, when I shall know pure love. It says, then shall we know even we're also known. The day is going to come when I can love God like he wants to be loved. How many times have I said this at the Lord's Supper time? I cannot feel like I ought to feel right now. I cannot be as grateful as I want to be because this flesh is here. And I say often, dear God, help me as near as possible. Handicapped by this flesh, this mortality, help me as near as possible to love you right now like you ought to be loved. I hunger to love him like he deserves. But bless God, when I see him, I can love him like he deserves. And by the way, then you're going to love your wife when you get to heaven because of what you are. You'll love perfect love. When you get to heaven, you can give her the kind of love she does. Right now, it's a piddling little synthetic kind of a I like you. No more than a little child writing, I'll like you if you'll like me. I remember when I was in school, I liked a little girl named Jean Muller. I was just a little boy in the second grade, and I wrote a note to her. And I said, dear Jean, do you like me? She wrote back and said, dear Jack, I like you and Harry. Didn't do a thing for me. Not a thing for me. That's where you are. That's the way our love is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we never can until we awaken his likeness, love like he loves, but bless God. That's what he's saying. We can be on our way. Now we know in part, but you can have a bigger part of agape and a lesser part of phileo, and that's what you call maturing in the Lord. So I conclude with review. One, we are perfectly loved by him. Listen carefully. God loves you as much when you're backslidden and half drunk in a tavern as he loves you when you're sitting in the choir at First Baptist Church of Hammond. And in the case of these fellows over here, they did both in a week's time. Now, wait a minute. God loves you just as much if you're out of church as he does if you're in church. Because God's love for you is an unconditional love, not determined by what you are, but who he is. So, we are perfectly loved. We will perfectly love. And number three, by review, we should be on our way now toward perfect love. Now, here's what you say, and I'm going to close. Yeah, I'm so sick of this, I don't know what to do. I've had it said in my office 100 times in the last year. Well, Brother Howells, you're different. You're different. You love your enemies. You're different. You got a hole in your head big enough to drive a Mack truck through. I have the same Bible you have. You have the same Holy Spirit I have. You have a new nature, just like I have a new nature. You have the same command from God to love the unloving and love your enemies as I do. No, we're not different at all. And whatever, see, you're a Baptist when it comes to sins forgiven and a Catholic when it comes to loving. you're a Catholic when it comes to the Bible, but you're a Baptist. A Baptist comes to the Bible, but a Catholic when it comes to loving, because you think that you can pray as much as the fellow across the street can, or more. You think you have the same access to God I have. Is that right? Is that right? You think you can read the same Bible I have. Is that right? But you don't think you can love your enemies like I do. So you're one-third Catholic, because you're separating the clergy from the laity. So,
ask a question.
Which way are you looking tonight? Are you in the light, looking at darkness? That's the case. You see yourself. We see through a glass, a mirror, darkly. Or are you facing toward the light? And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. This book is the light. So if you're facing toward the light, you don't see yourself. You see others. You don't want things for yourself. You want things for others. You don't want to be selfish. You want to be unselfish. It all depends on whether or not you are looking toward the light or toward the darkness. The sad thing is, and with this statement I'm through, the sad thing is the average Christian in this country has no more agape than the average unsaved person. That's why you got your divorce. Are going to get one. That's why you can't get along with your husband. That's why you can't get along with your wife. That's why you criticize the school teacher. That's why your teenagers can't get along with each other. That's why you boys have your fights at school. That's why you girls criticize other girls. You know why? Because you don't have any more genuine love than the heathen have. But I tell you what, the very love of God himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that love is an option for you. It's available. It's yours. You'll never have it perfectly in this life, but you're to be on your way toward perfect love. Shall we stand, please?